According to NASA, we're just 1 month away from the planetary alignment of our universe. And based on one report that I just received, this planetary alignment is going to result in a total blackout of the Earth for 3 days. That's right. U.S. scientists are predicting the total darkness of our planet from December 22nd until Christmas Day, the 25th. And they're encouraging us to avoid traveling during the third week of December this year simply because all modes of communication are going to fail. And while these scientists aren't predicting the end of the world, they are telling us that the Earth is going to shift from the current third dimension to zero dimension and then all the way to the fourth dimension. During this transition, the entire universe is going to face major changes. And those who survive this catastrophic event will find themselves picking up the pieces in this brand new world. And listen, I know this rumor is true because I saw it on Facebook. Another report assures us that this universal event is going to cause a rip in the space-time continuum, and at that point in time, everyone with a wardrobe will have full access to Narnia. There we'll be able to find food, shelter, and love, and Turkish delights for everyone. Okay, listen, if it's possible that you started thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? The end of the world is coming. It's going to happen. The U.S. scientists are saying it. Who are these U.S. scientists? You know, U.S. scientists. They're telling us it's the end. And it's possible that you've allowed a rumor just like this one to fill your hearts with fear. And now rather than spending your life serving the Lord with joy, you're keeping your eye on your doomsday clock. You're stockpiling weapons. You're filling your garage with food rations so that you can survive the coming catastrophe. I can't even say it. It's so scary. But maybe not. Maybe you're not given to these rumors that predict the end of the world. Maybe you hear those and you're just like, oh, that's silly. But maybe you're a person who just quickly passes along any political rumor that paints the other candidate in the worst possible light. Well, that's got to be true because I hate that guy. And so before you check the facts, you just put it on your Facebook and off it goes out into cyberspace. I mean, you know, there's no way that that friend of yours would ever do the same thing and just post something that they didn't check out, right? It's got to be true. And so we just forward this information on. But maybe you're not given to political rumors. Maybe you're not given to the rumors about the end of the world. Maybe you're the person who's quick to repost that plea from that parent who's begging you to post the information about their runaway. Their child has been gone for 3 weeks and they're crying out for help. Please repost this picture of my child and tell the world to look for my child. And your heart breaks for the plea of this parent, and you're quick to repost this runaway's information, only to find out later that someone else checked Snopes.com and found out that, no, that's just a prank that that person's friend put out there to make fun of them. Rumors. Why are we so quick to pass along the rumors that we hear? Why are we so willing to repeat the unverified information which comes to us from uncertain origins without first checking the facts? Why do we feel the need to share those juicy stories that are based on nothing more than hearsay? Well, whatever the reasons for the rumors that we spread, the fact of the matter is that rumors will oftentimes result in unrighteous repercussions. Here in our study today, we're going to examine a rumor that was being spread about King David. And as we begin to explore our text, we'll soon see the damaging effects that occur when rumors are created and then repeated by those who simply repeat rumors. If this is our focus, we're going to see, first of all, how rumors will oftentimes result in deception. We'll also consider how rumors can result in defamation. And finally, we'll see how rumors could result in division. So with this as our outline, let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 10. Because there we find David, We find David dealing with the rumors that were being spread by the Ammonites. As you turn to 2 Samuel 10, I want to set the stage for our study today by first pointing out that a rumor is defined as a story or a statement that's in general circulation, which is being shared without any confirmation or certainty of the facts. And while rumors aren't always entirely false, rumors are oftentimes stories that result in the deception of those who receive the rumor. That's exactly what David was dealing with here in 2 Samuel chapter 10. If you would, let's begin reading there at verse 1. There we read, "It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his place. Then David said, 'I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me.' So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, 'Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it?' Therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, 'Wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return.' When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, from Ishtob, 12,000 men." Now here in our text today, we find David, he's dealing with the false rumors that were being spread by the princes of Ammon. And in order to better understand the situation that we find here in these verses, I should first point out that the Ammonites, these were the descendants of Lot who lived on the east side of the Jordan River. They were Eastsiders. And I'll remind you that David had recently conquered these people as he began to establish the kingdom of Israel. But now here in verse 1, we learn that the king of these people, the king of Ammon, died. And Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. Now, David had conquered this region already, but he was also a kind king. He was a kind king who had compassion on Hanun. With this in mind, notice with me again there at verse 2. There David said, "I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me." Now, as we consider David's declaration here, we aren't told how the former king of Ammon had shown him kindness. We don't really understand what this king had done for David, that David was now like, "Well, I want to show kindness in return." What we do know, though, is that David wanted to repay the kindness of this deceased king. And in order to do so, he sent gifts to Hanun by the hand of his servants so that Hanun might be comforted as he mourned the loss of his father. Unfortunately, the arrival of David's servants, it resulted in vicious rumors. With this in mind, notice with me again there at verse 3. There we learn that the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, "Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it?" Well, here in this verse, we find the chief leaders of Ammon planting a rumor seed in the mind of their king. And they planted this seed of slander by calling David's actions into question. And with that being the case, I think we should take a closer look at the two questions that they posed. Notice again there in verse 3. There, these Ammonite governors first challenged David's act of kindness by asking, "Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you?" Or in other words, these guys were planting seeds of doubt in the mind of their new king by suggesting that David really wasn't honoring Hanun's father. He didn't care about honoring Hanun's father. In this way, the Ammonite leaders were questioning David's sincerity. They were calling his sincerity into question, and they were challenging their new king to reconsider how he saw King David. Then after calling David's sincerity into question, they began to question his intentions. As a matter of fact, look with me there at the second question found there in verse 3. There the Ammonite leaders asked their king, "Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it?" Now here in the second question, we find the governors of Ammon. They're asking a question. And this question was designed to convince their king that David was up to no good. No, they didn't come right out and accuse the Israelites of deceiving the king of Ammon. He didn't come right out, or these leaders didn't come right out and say, "Look, these guys just want to spy out our land. They just want to spy out our city. They want to be able to come in and rule over the city itself and not just over the land." And with this, they were creating a rumor bomb, which ended up deceiving the king of Ammon about the intentions of David. From this, I want to take a moment to consider how rumors oftentimes end in deceit. The king of Ammon was being deceived by these rumors. And rumors oftentimes end up in deceived people. And with this in mind, if you would, hold your place here in 2 Samuel 10 and turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. You see, it's in Matthew 15 that we find Jesus. He's actually warning the multitudes about the evil things that are birthed within the hearts of sinful men. And here in these verses, we discover that rumors not only cause deceit, but they also defile the one spreading the rumor. And with this in mind, if you would, look with me there at Matthew chapter 15. I want to begin reading at verse 10. There Matthew tells us that Jesus called the multitude to himself, and he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." And Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Now here in these verses we find Jesus, he's helping his disciples to understand that a person is defiled by the evil things that proceed from our hearts. And we must not fail to notice here that Jesus included the sin of spreading deceitful rumors amongst murder and fornication. Notice with me again there at the end of verse 19, there Jesus includes the sin of being a false witness on this list of wickedness. Now, a false witness, this is a person who shares a story that isn't fully true. They're claiming to have firsthand information about it. They're claiming to be a witness, but they're a false witness. They're giving information that doesn't fully line up with the facts. And listen, the person who chooses to spread a rumor which results in deceit has not only damaged the reputation of the person that the rumor is about, or in other words, when a person goes out and becomes a false witness, they are deceiving others about the person they're talking about, and that person's reputation is then damaged. But that's not all that happens here. Jesus is telling us here that the person who spreads the rumor has defiled themselves. The person who is the false witness has defiled themselves. Therefore, we must avoid becoming false witnesses. We should stop spreading rumors. Because we not only damage that person, but we defile ourselves. I like the way that King Solomon put it in Proverbs chapter 12. He declares, "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit." In Proverbs 24, King Solomon also declares, "Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, for would you deceive with your lips?" From this, we must understand that while a person who spreads a rumor about another person could be telling some level of the truth, it's also likely that they've become a false witness who is unwittingly engaging in deceitfulness. A person who takes a rumor and he hears a rumor or she hears a rumor and then just passes along the information, they might think that they're telling the truth. But if they didn't check the facts out, well, it might be false. And though you might think that you're sharing something that's true, if it doesn't line up with the facts, then it's false, and you unwittingly become a talebearer, a backbiter, and a person who spreads rumors. That being the case, it's just better to stop spreading rumors. It's just better to just, if you hear some rumor, just, you know, let it die with you. Don't pass it along. That way we can just simply avoid the sin of deception that occurs whenever we spread rumors. Well, listen, rumors not only have the potential of resulting in deception, but rumors will oftentimes result in defamation. With this in mind, let's turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 10, because there we find David's men being defamed by this rumor. And before we continue to develop our text, it'll help us to understand that the word defamed, it actually speaks of that which causes a person to become disgraced. And listen, the person who defames another by spreading rumors, they end up damaging the reputation, the character, and the good name of the one being slandered. That's exactly what's happening here in our text today. If you would, look with me there at verse 4. There we read, "Therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away." Now that's defamation right there. They're damaging the reputation of these men. The reputation, the character, the good name of David's servants were being defamed by this act simply because the governors of the Ammonites, they decided to ask their king misleading questions, which ended up creating a rumor about the intentions of King David, so that when these servants finally showed up, they did these awful things. As a result of this rumor, the servants that were sent by David were defamed. And they ended up becoming greatly ashamed. Notice with me again there at verse 5. There we learn that David sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. Now I should point out that this word ashamed, it's used to refer to a person who was humiliated or dishonored. Refers to a person who is put to shame, and refers to a person who's been defamed. From this we see then that the representatives from Israel, they ended up becoming defamed as the Ammonite princes shaved off their beards. Notice with me again there in the second half of the verse. There the king said, "Wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return." From this we see that the beard of an Israelite, it was extremely important. The beard of an Israelite was an important part of the Jewish man's persona. They spent their life growing out that beard. And while it's easy to replace the garments that were cut off, that was quickly replaced. Their beards, well, that was a whole other story. As a matter of fact, it took years for these men to grow out a proper beard. And yeah, I mean, Israel at this point in time looked like one big episode of Duck Dynasty. But their beard was their pride and their joy. And so to shave off half of their beard, well, they were being defamed because these men would have to go back to Israel where they would be seen by all the other men in Israel and their reputations would be defamed. And while it's true that these men had been defamed by the governors of Ammon, David was allowing them to save face by giving them time to grow their beards back before returning to Israel. But at the same time, these guys had to still live with the fact that the leaders of Ammon had damaged their reputation, their character, and their good name, all because of a rumor that was designed to defame their righteous reputation. All this was because of a rumor that was started about King David. And as we consider the way that a rumor about David ended up defaming the good name of David's servants, we're once again presented with yet another result of starting rumors or repeating rumors. With this as our focus, if you would hold your place here in 2 Samuel 10 and turn with me to James chapter 4. And as you turn to James chapter 4, I want to take a moment to point out that the person who chooses to defame another person by repeating a rumor that they heard, they're guilty of spreading slanderous speech, which actually has the potential of damaging the reputation, the character, and the good name of the one being slandered. And while some rumors can result in a sort of embarrassments that maybe hurt the person's feelings for a moment but are soon forgotten, there are other rumors that are more like a beard that's been shaven. Some rumors are quickly covered up, but some rumors, it's kind of like shaving that beard off. It's like it's going to be a while before the damage that was caused can be fixed. And knowing how slanderous speech spoken by those who are quick to repeat a rumor can end up damaging the reputation of the person who's being defamed, the Apostle James encourages us to avoid this repercussion by refusing to repeat these rumors altogether. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at James chapter 4, I want to look at verse 11. There James declares, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Now here in this verse, we find James, he's encouraging every believer to stop speaking evil about one another. And I should point out that the words "speaking evil," they were translated from a Greek word which was used to describe those who would defame another person with backbiting, slanderous speech. James 4:11 could be translated like this: "Do not defame one another with slanderous rumors." And from this encouragement, we see that it's wrong to defame another person by repeating those rumors, which are nothing more than unsubstantiated slander. It's wrong to repeat those rumors that you might hear in the ear and then go on and without checking the facts, just repeat it so that others might repeat it as well. It's wrong. It's evil speaking. And listen, not only should we refrain from repeating these rumors, but the Bible also tells us to reject these rumors, especially if the rumor is about an elder in the church. Now, in order to show you what I mean, if you would continue holding your place there at 2 Samuel and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Because it's in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that we find Paul. He's encouraging this young pastor by the name of Timothy to be careful to substantiate the rumors that he was hearing about the leaders in his church. The reason why is due to the fact that there will always be those who attempt to defame the leaders of a church. And the reason why is because they want to demote those leaders. Now, I'll explain this a little bit more here in a few minutes, but listen, anytime a leader makes a leadership decision, it's going to be liked by some and not liked by others. That's what happens with decision making. Some people will love it, yay. Some people will hate it, boo. And those who hate it, there could be a group within those who hate it that, you know, they're just like, well, I'm going to spread a rumor about this person and defame them so that their decision is called into question. And I'm guessing that there were people who were coming to Timothy saying, "Hey, do you know what your elder did? Do you know what that leader said?" And I'm going to guess that Timothy contacted Paul and said, "Hey, what should I do about this?" Well, with this in mind, look with me there at 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 19. There Paul declares, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear." Now, here in these verses, we find Paul encouraging Pastor Timothy to reject the rumors that he would hear about his elders, unless, of course, there were two or three witnesses who could corroborate the accusation. This is so important because anyone can accuse anyone else of anything. It's easy to come along and just say, you know what so-and-so did? Do you know what that person said? I mean, that's easy. For example, I just took the lead deacons of our church to the pastors and leaders conference there in Houston. And there in Houston, we, you know, split up into a few hotel rooms. And so I wasn't personally there to witness the accusation. But Jeremy did come to me and tell me that in his room, he noticed that on Saturday morning, he saw Franco putting a toupee on. Now, I personally always thought that his hair was a little too perfect, you know. But I wasn't going to say anything. But rather than just coming back and spreading this rumor about Franco and his toupee, I decided to see if there was a second witness, and Chris was in that room as well. So I said, Chris, did you see Franco putting a toupee on that morning? And Chris said, no, he didn't see that. He could neither confirm nor deny Franco's hair being real or not. And so based on what Paul's writing here, we don't have a second witness, and so it would be wrong for us to now go out and tell others about Franco's toupee. There's no one to substantiate the rumor. So for now, let's just keep it between us. Okay? If we get further evidence, then I'll go ahead and go live with the website that I just created, www.francostoupe.com. We'll post pictures and everything. But until we have that second witness or that third witness, then it's just slander. It's just a rumor, and so it would be wrong for us to spread it. Seriously, though, it's important for us to understand that Franco doesn't have a toupee, number one. Or does he? But it's also important to understand that it's just easy to start rumors about anyone. It's that easy. And listen, leaders become easy targets of these defamatory rumors, especially when we make unpopular leadership decisions. And since there are those who start rumors in order to defame a leader so that they might end up demoted, then we must be diligent to investigate every accusation before we begin to speak evil of another person by repeating a rumor which might not be true. Now, Paul also tells us that if the rumor is true, if it turns out to be right, then they need to be challenged in front of everyone. But until then, we have to chalk it up to nothing more than slanderous speech. From this we see then that rumors have the potential of resulting in deception. And not only that, but rumors will oftentimes result in defamation. But finally, I want to consider how rumors can also result in division. With this in mind, if you would, turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 10, because there we find a clear division occurring between the Ammonites and the Israelites. If you would, look with me there at verse 6. There we read, when the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and from Ishtob, 12,000 men. Now here in this verse, we find the Ammonites. They're beginning to recognize the repercussions of the rumor they started. You see, the governors of Ammon, they just started this little rumor by questioning David's intentions of why he wanted to send people to comfort their king. As a result, the king of Ammon decided to defame the servants of David by exposing their privates and shaving their beards. But now that David was aware of their actions, they realized that they had become completely repulsive in the sight of David. Or in other words, David was repelled from them like a person is repelled by something that stinks really bad. For example, I'm sure that we've all experienced the smell of a dead skunk on the side of the road. Once you catch a whiff of that odor, all you want to do is get as far away from that carcass as possible, because the odor is repulsive. You just want to get away from it. Or how about the moment when you open that milk carton in your fridge only to discover that it's gone bad? You catch a little whiff of it, and all of a sudden you're pushing the carton away and you're putting the cap back on because you don't want to smell that anymore. It's repulsive. That's what the word repulsive means here in our text. And after defaming the Israelite servants there, the Ammonites knew that they had become repulsive to David. They knew that David was saying, hey, you guys stink. I want nothing to do with you. What began as a simple rumor about David's intentions, it resulted in repulsive rejection, which was causing a distinct division between the Ammonites and the Israelites. As a matter of fact, notice with me again there at verse 6. There we learn that when the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians. They went and hired these other soldiers. They hired 20,000 foot soldiers from Syria who would join with the army of the Ammonites and help them to win this war against the Israelites. And not only that, but there at the end of verse 6, we learn that the Ammonites also hired 1,000 men from the king of Maacah and 12,000 men from Ishtob. From this, we see that those who create and repeat these rumors, they eventually end up causing division. And not only does this division occur between the rumor starter and the rumor target, but the division will continue to occur as people are forced to take sides on the issue. Much like the Ammonites, the rumor starters will oftentimes begin to sow seeds of discord. They'll attempt to convince everyone else to get on their side. In this case, the Ammonites are hiring the Syrians. But in our case, sometimes people that start rumors, they just go around and they attempt to speak even louder so that everybody takes up their cause and takes up their side, and they want to cause division and get everybody else on their side. With this in mind, if you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Because you see, it's in Proverbs 6 that we find the Lord's point of view when it comes to those who attempt to divide people through sowing seeds of discord. And as we consider the content of this text, we must not fail to consider how this applies to the practice of repeating rumors. What this is our focus, if you would look with me there at Proverbs 6. I want to begin reading at verse 16. There Solomon declares, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." Now here in these verses, Solomon presents us with six things the Lord hates. And I know the word hate is extreme, and many times people say, well, you know, let's not use the word hate. It's just too harsh. But there are things that the Lord hates. What do you mean? The Lord hates things? Yeah, there are things the Lord hates. We find a list of six of them here, and then a seventh thing, which is an abomination to the Lord. And within this list of things that the Lord hates, one of them is a lying tongue, and another one is a false witness who speaks lies. The Lord hates these things. And not only that, but we also learn that the Lord considers those who sow discord among brethren to be an abomination. Now that's, again, tough language. And yet those who sow discord, they're doing something that in the eyes of the Lord is abominable. This word discord refers to the contentions that result in divisions. And it refers to the strife that comes from slanderous speech. And in light of these verses, we must understand that the Lord hates it when we repeat rumors about one another. He hates it. And not only that, but it's an abomination to create or repeat a rumor and then use it to cause discord within a church. It's an abomination to create divisions with rumors within our body, within our church. And yet at the same time, we must also understand that the Lord would have us to divide from those who are causing those divisions. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 16. And as you turn to Romans 16, I want to take a moment to explain the difference between division and division. Oh, I know it sounds the same, but it's very, very different. You see, on the one hand, the Lord desires unity within our fellowship. The Lord desires for every church who is known by His name that there would be a unity of fellowship within that church. And He hates it when Christians repeat the sort of rumors that will only result in church division. And so in that sense, the Lord is completely opposed to division. And yet at the same time, the Lord also expects us to divide from those who are causing division. It's no contradiction. But the Lord would have us to separate ourselves from those who sow those seeds of discord. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at Romans 16, verse 17, there Paul declares, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Here we find Paul encouraging the Christians in Rome that when there are people within their church who are causing divisions and offenses, he says, avoid them. What this means is that we must divide ourselves from those who choose to sow seeds of discord. We must separate ourselves from those who are choosing to repeat rumors. Now, this is not to suggest that we automatically avoid a person who tells you a rumor. Someone comes and says, "Hey, do you know what Franco did with his hair and toupee and stuff?" I mean, someone comes with that kind of a rumor, you don't say, "Oh, can't talk to you ever again. Gotta go." That's not what he's saying here. It's not to suggest that we should automatically avoid a person who comes to you with a rumor. No, instead, we should follow the instructions that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 18. And so let's examine these instructions by turning to Matthew 18. You see, it's here in Matthew 18 that we find the Lord helping us to understand that every believer is responsible for maintaining the unity of our Christian fellowship. And yet at the same time, it's also our responsibility to separate ourselves from those who cause division. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at Matthew 18, I want to begin reading there at verse 15. There Jesus declares, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." Now here in these verses, we see here how every Christian is responsible for maintaining the unity within their church by personally challenging those who are sinning against them. Then, if the person refuses to hear them, then others can be brought into the scenario, not before. It's sad to say that too many people end up causing division because rather than confronting the person who has sinned against them, they decide to go and share their perspective about that sinning Christian with some other person within the church. Rather than going to the person who sinned against them, they go to somebody else. They bypass step one in Matthew 18, and they go straight to step two, but with no intention of coming back to step one with that second person. Christian, listen, before you go and tell your story about a sinning Christian to another person, it's your job to first go to them and tell them their sins between you and them alone. Period. You see, if you think that they've sinned against you, well, the minute you go to someone else first, well, now you've sinned against them. Does that make anything right? Absolutely not. It's your job to go to them first, alone. "Well, they're not going to listen to me." Well, it doesn't matter if they receive you or not. We have instructions for what to do if they don't receive you. But if you sit there and say, "Well, they're not going to receive me, so I'm not going to go." Well, so sin covers sin? Is that going to fix anything? Absolutely not. Listen, if they don't receive your challenge, then you can go bring someone else in. Then you can bring another party in to mediate between you and them. And if they don't receive the challenge of the mediation, then the leaders of the church can step in and engage in proper biblical division. Don't go cause division by spreading the rumors. Take Jesus' plan here for dealing with Christians who sin against other Christians, and if division needs to happen, let it happen biblically. And if they won't repent and they've been shown to be sinning and they refuse to listen, then the church can step in, enforce Christian discipline, and we can separate ourselves from those who are causing division in a biblical fashion. That being the case, I want to encourage you to avoid spreading the rumors that are created whenever we decide to go and tell others about the way that another Christian has sinned against us. Listen, if it's really that big of a deal to you, if you really feel like someone has sinned against you, that you need to get it off of your chest, then go tell that person. Get it off of your chest by going and sitting down with them and saying, hey, look, I feel like you've sinned against me. They might have a perfectly reasonable explanation for what they did. But it's your job, Christian, to go to them first. But what this also means is that if someone comes to you and says, do you know what so-and-so did to me? Do you know how they treated me? Do you know what happened here? If someone comes to you with a rumor like that, then just stop them and simply ask them, are you inviting me to be a mediator between you and them? Are you inviting me to... So you've gone to them, right? And you've told them and they didn't receive you, and now you want me to be a part of this process with you? Is that what you're asking? Because if so, let's just go get them right now. Then, if they're willing to go get that other person, then sit down with them. Listen to both sides of the story. Try to make sense of what happened. And if someone needs to be rebuked, then they need to be challenged. And if they don't receive it, then bring the church leadership in. More times than not, though, that person will say, oh, no, they're not going to receive it. They're not going to want to hear it. And if that's what they say, then just say, I don't want to hear it either then. If you haven't taken the first step that Jesus gave us, don't come to me and try to spread that rumor. Because all they're doing is they're acting like the Ammonites hiring the Syrians to take their side. That's all it is. If a person comes to you and attempts to cause division between you and that person, don't receive it. Don't receive the rumor. Don't repeat it and spread the rumor. And then if they continue to try to slander that person in your ears, then tell them, you're sinning against me now by starting rumors. And if they won't receive that, then you need to bring in a third person. You need to sit down with a mediator and say, hey, this person keeps telling me rumors. They keep slandering other people in this church, and I want them to stop. That's your responsibility, Christian, to take that stand so that rumors stop being spread. And if they won't receive it, then according to Jesus, we're to treat them like a heathen or a tax collector. Now that's Jesus saying that there's going to be division in the church. That there's going to be people that we have to say, you know what? You're like a heathen and a tax collector, and I can't fellowship with you until you repent. And that's why Paul tells us to avoid them. Those who are causing divisions and offenses among us, avoid them after we go through the biblical model for church discipline. Well, with all this in mind, I want to conclude our study today by simply stating the fact that the Lord hates rumors. Praise the Lord that the Lord loves rumor tellers, because I'm sure we've all been guilty of spreading a rumor or two. The Lord loves us, and He died for our sins upon the cross so that we could be forgiven for every sin. But the Lord hates rumors. And He hates it when we spread rumors about one another. And the reason why is because rumors have the potential of resulting in deception. Rumors have the potential of resulting in defamation. And rumors typically result in division. That being the case, Paul encouraged the Christians in Ephesus to put away lying. encouraged us that each one of us should speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We are a body of believers who should be together, and we should speak the truth about one another. And not only that, but we should speak the truth in love. And so you can say, well, that was true what I said. But was it in love? We must learn to speak the truth in love so that we can be a unified body of believers who are expressing the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, listen, let's avoid the unrighteous repercussions that occur whenever we repeat the rumors that we hear. And let's love one another enough to stop spreading slanderous stories. And instead, let's just simply speak the truth in love, all for the glory of the Lord, who died for our sins upon the cross. Let's pray.